Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is Pamela Clark. I'm founder and director of the New Heights Educational Group. I know that normally you hear Kaden's voice right now, Kaden Behan, but she's traveling tonight and couldn't be with us. So I am going to be the host for the show tonight. Tonight we have a very special guest with us, Boyd Myers, who's from the Christian Athletic League of America. He is the founder and chairman of the board. And he will discuss creating Christian sports teams here in Northwest Ohio. Welcome to the show, Boyd.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. So how are you tonight?
I'm doing well. I just enjoyed watching my Michigan State Spartans move on in the March Madness tournament, so it's been a good day.
Great. Sounds like a good day. So you want to share a little bit about yourself and where you're from and...
Sure. Yeah, in some ways I consider Toledo my home. I was born in Toledo, raised nearby in Ida, Michigan, and as I just alluded to, I am a graduate of Michigan State University. I played football there from 1986 through 1989. It's also the place where my life hit rock bottom. I had to actually walk away prior to my fifth-year senior season. I had dropped out of school for a couple of years. In the middle of that, a good friend of mine introduced me to Jesus Christ, and in August of 1990, I gave my life to the Lord, and it's been sweet through the ups and downs ever since. So,
So
after graduation, I'll just tell you briefly because it does lead a little bit into what I'll discuss about the league. I work professionally for the Michigan Department of Corrections, and I really responded to that as what I believe was a call from the Lord after looking where my own life had been, knowing that there's some valuable souls. In fact, all of them are made in the image of God, that it's a worthwhile pursuit to try to minister to them. And so that's what I've done professionally for roughly the last 20 years, the last 3.5 as a probation officer.
Yeah. That's probably influenced you a lot, too, in your personal life and with the call of what you're trying to do now, right?
Yeah, it certainly has. When I began working on, the original name of the organization was the Christian Athletic League of Michigan, and we had run Christian Football League of Michigan, Mm-hmm. But now that we have a team in Ohio and a team in Indiana, we wanted to expand on that. I know Buckeyes don't like to associate with the state of Michigan too much, and because of the school down in Ann Arbor, I don't blame them. But anyway, it began, and I knew somewhere along the way, and we've seen fruit in this, I knew along the way that we would be able to take a very solid base of operation. In other words, very solid people involved in all these teams, and it could be a very effective outreach, knowing that there are a lot of kids falling through the cracks that enjoy sports, and that we could use the tool of sport, maybe the lure might be the more accurate word, to begin to minister to kids like that. And so we
really
have seen that develop.
Passion only with finding the kids that maybe are troubled, but also the ones that maybe don't get to play sports because they're involved with alternative education choices, right?
Correct. Correct. Yeah, I mean, we have a ton of flexibility, so, you know, it's not just for the at-risk kids, and actually they're kind of the, they followed as the second population that we've been able to reach initially. It's just been, truthfully, it was homeschoolers that fueled the start of this. They were the one population that did not have a place to play high school tackle football. And because of that, they were very motivated, and that's kind of where it started.
And you were a homeschooler yourself, right, for your children?
Yes. Yes, that's correct. I have three daughters. My oldest daughter is she's actually a senior at Lansing Christian School. For her high school years, we just felt like she just had such a hunger and thirst for learning that we felt that we probably would not be able to push her enough ourselves as homeschoolers. So we looked around at different educational options. In fact, we were in the Ann Arbor area at the time and just didn't feel a sense of peace anywhere that we looked, whether it was public school or Christian schools or any type of alternatives. And we kind of stumbled upon Lansing Christian. And oddly enough, we moved primarily for that purpose, that we felt like that would be the place for her. And I actually got some wonderful news Friday from her. That is my oldest daughter. She will be one of the valedictorians of her graduating class. So we're
wonderful.
Real proud of her. Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
So,
wow.
But anyway, you know, we had homeschooled for a lot of years, and you know, we understand that community and a lot of the challenges. And when you just step back and think about the challenges that they have, and yet they're willing to do them because they know how valuable their kids are. And so we're privileged to be able to offer the opportunity for homeschool children to play sports.
Yeah, and I know, as being a homeschooler myself for 13 years, I've been in that community for a long time and still have many friends that are still homeschooling. And I know that a lot of them were not allowed to play in the local sports because they were homeschoolers, and that's public funds, and so they were left out. So I know that it's a real issue in this area, and hopefully someone listening, I know I talked to someone just last week that is pretty excited about this, and hopefully people can call in and ask some questions tonight while we continue with our interview, and you can tell them more. I would like to go back a little bit and talk about some of the your time, you know, working in the corrections, because I do think that there's a lot. I think that our society overlooks that a lot. They just say, oh, well, that person made their choices, blah, blah, blah. But it's really not that cut and dry when you look at a lot of these kids were the ones that fell through the cracks. I had done a little bit of research, and 68% of the state prison inmates did not receive a high school diploma. That's a huge number, and that really sticks out. I know that colleges are filled with those kind of people, but so a lot of them don't have much of an education at all. They didn't even learn to read. Also, I found out that about 26% of the state prison inmates said that they had completed the GED while serving in the correctional facility, and I know some inmates that fits perfectly, just those first two statistics. And although I did find out that the percentage of the state prison inmates who reported taking educational courses while confined fell 57% in 91, which I thought was interesting, and to 52% in 97. Not sure why that is. Do you have, what's your experience with these numbers and what you've witnessed personally with these people that have fallen through the cracks?
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, everything you just talked about is absolutely true. And you know, those are some of the obstacles in the way for having a successful life. Let me go to another statistic, and this isn't I don't have the exact number, and I can give you a brief story that really illustrates the point. But, you know, the number of young men, and I don't know the statistics for the ladies, but I think this is just as important, that are incarcerated or even on probation or felony record or whatever. And I see it every day in probation, that almost every one of my probationers does not have a dad involved in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And those that knew their dads were not good examples, typically. To illustrate it, there's a man by the name of Bill Glass. He played in the NFL. In fact, he played for the Cleveland Browns for most of his career back in the 60s. And he responded to the call to be a preacher upon retiring from the NFL. So I think for a few of the years in the off season, he pursued his seminary degree, and he stumbled in 1973. He stumbled into, in fact, I believe it was the prison in Marion, Ohio. And he really found a really open harvest field, maybe is the best way to put it. Anyway, Bill's devoted his life, and I had the privilege of having his ministry in the prison I worked at in Ypsilanti for 3 years. We had him come up there, and I've heard him deliver this little speech that he would illustrate the power of a dad. And he gave a great example of a guy by the name of Jim Sundberg, who played Major League Baseball for a lot of years for the Texas Rangers. And he used this illustration that his dad, Jim's dad, would tell him all the time, "Son, you're going to be a Major League ball player someday." And even when he did really horribly in a game, his dad always found a way to encourage him. And then Bill Glass would tell this story to the prisoners that were watching this program. And then he would ask them, he says, "How many of you never knew your dad?" And it would break your heart when you would see the number of men that would raise their hand and to see their face and to realize the hurt that's in their heart because they never had that. And that would pretty much be almost all the population of those that didn't raise their hands. He would ask, for the rest of you that did have a dad, how many of you had your dad telling you all the time, "Son, you keep that up, you're going to end up in prison someday." And that would cover the population. They either didn't know their dad or they had a dad that berated them and you know, talked down on them. And that issue itself is coming to the forefront in society. And the movie Courageous illustrated it extremely well because they utilized law enforcement, criminal behavior. They even quote some of the statistics in the movie. And really, even as our league, we're kind of moving towards that because when we look at, okay, how can we best minister to these at-risk kids, we've got to go for their father figures. Maybe there's a chance to educate them and motivate them to be good dads and to show them that contrast and maybe be able to work with them. And you know, quite likely some of these at-risk kids won't even have a dad. So, you know, our other challenge is going to the churches and saying, "Where are you, men, that will be willing to stand in the gap?" Because that'll make all the difference in these kids' lives if they can have a man who would teach them what it means to be a godly man.
Yeah, and it's that's not the only factor. That's a big factor. But also, if they don't have education or if they fall through with their studies because of their troubled home life and they can't, you know, get themselves out of the situation their home life was in, then I've seen a lot where, you know, that repeats. Illiteracy breeds illiteracy, and alcoholism, you know, causes more generations of alcoholism, drug addictions. And not every time, but a lot of times that repeats. Haven't you found that in your case also?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I think, you know, maybe the heart of the issue is I think where I think these things complement themselves. And I think the importance of the dad is to have really almost that cheerleader that's pushing you on. And so education would obviously be one of the things that, you know, if there was a dad involved or a positive male role model that would teach them, hey, this is very important. I mean, this is what I have to do with my probationers. They're really, almost all of them are their children in grown men bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
If you don't understand how important that is. And so they need somebody that will come alongside them, encourage them that, hey, you can do it. You can overcome these obstacles. I'm going to be here for you. you know, if you ever need anything, you let me know, because I'm here to help you. And I'm gonna try to point you towards somebody that can help you. And for a lot of them, they just, and referring to the probationers, is they have no sense of hope. And I know that trickles back to childhood, you know, when things are rough and there's nobody to come alongside them to say, you know what, it's going to be okay. You know, they have a lot of fear and insecurity and a lack of love. And it's just, we could probably use the whole program talking about this and then some, because it's
I know. Right. But I want to touch on it a little bit, because you do have a background in that and you've seen a lot of things. And I think a lot of times, I mean, with New Heights' mission, you know, and trying to improve, you know, literacy in Northwest Ohio and beyond, I think that a lot of people just kind of think, well, we can wait. That's, you know, there's so much chaos going on in the world. We can put these things off for a little bit more, but if you don't have education, society will fail. I mean, if you don't give a child a well-rounded education and give them alternatives to education and activities like what you're offering to start up here in Northwest Ohio, the kids that are already even a little bit lost, they will just give up.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Yeah, and they're going to fall through the cracks if they don't have an education. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're just not going to make it in this world if you don't have it.
So in 2007, you began working on forming a high school tackle football league that gives opportunity to those that were on the outside looking at the public school monopoly on high school football. Can you tell me a little bit about that? And what you've started a lot of teams up now for the Christian Athletic League of America, dozens, right?
Yeah, well, I wish it were dozens. It's about at a dozen right now. We initially got seven teams off the ground, and you know, I think the unfortunate part is we don't have a captive audience, so to speak. So the difficulty in getting new teams started is you got to find the people that want to do it. You got to find the right leadership that understands it, first of all. And I'll kind of roll in one of the things I had, you know, previously thrown your way as far as a question, you know, what makes us different from the public school leagues? You know, we need the right men in place, because ultimately it's not, and right now football is the sport that we kind of latched onto, because it's more needed. That there's a lot of other options for other sports, but football is the one that if you don't fit in the public school monopoly, you don't play at the high school level. So we've started with that one. What makes us different is that we're not going to make this all about football. We're going to learn how to play the game. We're going to learn to play it right. We're going to learn to play it safe. But it's really a fulfillment of Jesus' promise in Matthew 6:33 that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all this will be given to you as well. So if we're seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, the football will come as well, and we're coming from that perspective. So we've got to have the right men on board. We can't just take a guy who's a gung-ho football coach but doesn't have the heart of Christ and expect that we're really going to be able to minister to kids at the level they need to be ministered to. And, you know, ultimately, the original motto of the Christian Football League of Michigan was building leaders and servants through football. That's the basis that we're starting from, is that we form these teams because the young men that will come our way, and God will bring them our way, and yeah, it's for the sake of playing football, but we're going to use the football experience, because football is the ultimate of team sports, because you have kids with all kinds of body types, all kinds of skills, and they can all come together and they can find a place to contribute. And the challenge to every one of those kids is forget about yourself and contribute to this team based on what the coach asks of you, what your teammates are asking of you. And that's so akin to the gospel message, because Jesus has always called his followers to forget about themselves and to seek, you know, what his will is, his kingdom, his righteousness, living for this other world that is to come. And in the meantime, what your calling is to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel. And so that's really the starting point. And so we got to find the right men. Without the right men, we really can't pull this off. And so You know, like I said,
so
we don't have a captive
audience.
So women
can play this, you're not offering this to young women at all, or it's just for young men, is that correct?
Take my comments more as a generalization. We haven't encountered, we've had the question come up, and I honestly don't see a biblical mandate that says, oh, girls can't play this. Are we actively out trying to push and say, hey, let's get girls involved in this? We're not really doing that, but, you know, if there was a young lady that wanted to play and it was something that their parents were supportive of, I don't see that it would be a problem, and we would do that. But
what
really,
are the ages that you're looking at to serve?
Well, we really want to get to as many ages as possible, but it started with high schoolers because that was the one population that they had to have something like this because they just don't have an option. A lot of places still in middle school, you could find a place to play in your community. That's not exclusive because we've heard of other kids that have been shut out too, even at the middle school level. But we know at the high school level, there's no chance. And that was the initial thrust was kids that were coming from that perspective. Now, we heard from younger, middle school age kids. So a lot of our teams, did start out with what we call 78 or 7th and 8th grade kids. We've tried to combine onto teams. So we roughly had 10 high school age teams last year, and we had 6th, 7th, and 8th grade teams. We'd like to get younger. And again, a lot is just having the resources and more specifically, it's the leadership. We'll be able to branch lower. We think we could go higher. We think we could go to post high school. We could have college club ministries. And this would, I think, kind of come more along your alley as well.
Yeah.
That would be a great opportunity for kids that, maybe they had a horrible high school career, but maybe they're starting to get it together. And now they're past high school age. They'd love to still play sports. And that lure of sport could be a wonderful way to keep them pursuing education. We just haven't got there yet just because we pray for the Lord to keep sending the workers that we're going to need to do this. And I know he will do it. I have full confidence that it will happen because I've seen this come together. We're working on, going into our sixth season, which, has entailed almost 7 years of effort. And just bit by bit, I see the Lord put this together. And at times I think, we come across a new idea that, boy, this is going to be the big breakthrough. And it's always helped, but it hasn't. It's not a, click your fingers and now everything's different because of that. But we just keep persevering, and, it keeps growing. And I'm confident we'll be in Toledo this fall. We have one young man that's been working hard getting word out, and we've already got 4 or 5 kids that are interested. And that doesn't sound like much, but trust me, at this time of year, if you have 4 or 5 kids that have an interest, you got a chance to have a team because we've seen it over and over that you just kind of have to persevere and have some faith right now because once you get into June and especially late June into July, all of a sudden people start thinking about football again, and that's when you really start, instead of having one kid every couple weeks, you start getting 2 kids a week showing up and, finding out about what you're doing and wanting to do it. And unfortunately, that takes a lot of faith, though, to look at what you have right now with 4 or 5 kids and think you're going to be able to have a football team. So sometimes that's how we lose certain areas where they don't really follow through. But there's some other coaches that have come along that I've had contact with, and we're going to firm up some things in the next couple of weeks. So I'm pretty confident we'll have a presence in the Toledo area this
Great.
Fall.
And I know that this isn't only just, targeted to, homeschoolers, even though that, for you, for me, both is an important part of who we serve. And my audience knows that we serve all families regardless of school choice. But we're looking at homeschool and charter school families to reach them because they're not in the public school and they're often left out of these sports. Is there any message that you'd like to share with the homeschool or charter school students that maybe
absolutely
aren't at risk and how you can help them?
It's just amazing that there's so many specific ministry that is developed through these teams. And the one that I think we have to offer the homeschool athletes. The first one's obvious. Hey, we got a place you can play high school tackle football. That can be very important because I've had mothers crying on the phone. Oh, thank you. This is an answer to our prayer, because you know, seventh, eighth grade John or Mike, you know, they're thinking ahead to high school and they're begging their parents, let me go to the school because I want to play high school football. So obviously right away we're providing an opportunity for them. But I think beyond that is, you know, we're bringing along some other populations that they need Christ. Maybe they're not coming from as solid as a family. And I know naturally some homeschool families get a little nervous about this, but I've seen it time and time again. It has been, these football teams have been such a ministry to their young Christian kid who, you know, they've heard the commands, they've heard the teaching, sometimes over and over to where they seem oblivious to it and they don't want to, you know, they don't seem to have this really exuberant faith. Well, we see their eyes start to open up when we teach them that, you know, you have an interest in this and there's other people that they're not headed to heaven right now. They're headed to hell and they need Jesus Christ. And, you know, these coaches do such a great job at leading the players in this, and their eyes start to open up and they're hearing the scripture every day when they come to practice. We've had testimonies from families saying, we can't believe the change in our son. He comes home every night. He wants to be the one leading in prayer, and he wants to make sure we're doing a Bible study or a devotional after dinner every night. And it's because of the influence of their coaches that they see somebody that's not their dad. And I'm sure they love their dad, but sometimes, you know, they get tired of hearing what dad has to say for whatever reason. It's just maybe human nature. Or mom, yeah.
Yeah, because they're the ones that are around them. That's, you know, like the broken record. And just because kids may not know something's right or wrong. I mean, I've experienced this in New Heights, just trying through my actions to reach kids without being, you know, you want to reach them, but you don't want to push it down their throat. But you do that through action and through always treating them with respect and treating them the same and treating them and teaching them that, you know, do unto others as you want done unto you, and sticking to that.
Right.
And when,
absolutely.
And when people see that you mean that, you walk that, you do that, then you'll have respect. And I've seen that a lot with New Heights. And, and I understand exactly what you're saying, because we've made kids that way too.
Sure. So yeah, it's a fresh approach and you know, they're responding, and it's just been a great thing because the environment, this is where, you know, our commitment to all the Christian families is you're going to be pleased with the environment. No holds barred. We're going to do our best to live up to the standards of Christ in the way we conduct ourselves. And I think that's what's so important. And a lot of the reason they leave public school education is because they know it's going to be the opposite, that they're going to be in an environment that pushes them the other way. Well, we are being aggressive at telling kids, we're going to live to honor the Lord all the time. And in our football, that's what you're going to see. Now, we're not perfect at it, but we keep striving for it, and it keeps getting better and better in that way. So it's a great place for homeschool families to get involved, and the Lord's using them, and it's changing some of these young men's lives, and it's just been terrific.
Why don't you share your site and contact info with the audience? We're running out of time here. And,
sure. Well, we've set up a special email address. It's Kayla Ohio, which is C-A-L-A, the word Ohio, @gmail.com. That would really be the best starting point. We do have an office number, 517 area code, 882-7500. But please, send us an inquiry. We could tell you, obviously, a lot more, fill you in on some of the gaps, and hope to hear from you, and just pray for us, too. We got a long way to go still, but it's going to happen here in Ohio, and we're just excited about what the Lord's doing.
Thank you so much, Boyd, for joining us. And our website is newheightseducation.org, and you can also call us for more info, 419-786-0247. Next week's show is going to be on graduation tips and helps, and we look forward to having you all back then and hopefully getting some phone calls.